you're like, hallelujah. Praise God. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Hey, this church is filling up. I love it. Praise God. Good to see everybody here. Continue to pray for all our ministries, from our Kids Connect with our children's ministry to our junior to our youth. Pray for our youth and young people. Pray for our adults that they continue to pray and encourage you. Adults, continue to pray for our youth. So we don't stop praying here. Everyone has a part. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I teach my grandson. I said, if you're sick, you go lay hands on your body wherever you're sick. You command that sickness to leave in Jesus' name. He came home the other day, Caden, with your children too that are in the nursery. He comes home. He had a face of a lion on a stick and had little holes he put up to his face. And it said something, Tanya had written something, or a Bible verse that says, do not fear the Lord, or something like that. He's going to take care of you. So I go over there and see Caden, and he puts up his mask with the lion, and he takes it down, and he's reading what it says, you know. And of course, he's improvising a little bit because he doesn't know everything on there. But he's saying, you don't fear because Jesus. You don't fear because Jesus. Come on, church. You adults, you pray for those children. Because I tell people, if you bring your children here, you go in the nursery, they're going to come home and those kids in the nursery are going to lay hands on you and pray for you. That's what I expect. I don't expect Tanya to read them a bunch of stories and show a bunch of movies, just like Olga and her team and Lana and all her leaders. You're going to get in there, you're going to hear about Jesus. You want to watch a movie, I don't want to say this, but stay home and watch a movie. You want to come and know about Jesus, come to Calvary Gospel. But we're starting at a very young age because there is no age to what God wants to do. I'm getting on my bandwagon already. See, I don't know if it's the pulpit or what it is, but man, you got to get excited for what Jesus is doing. But we do this as a team. We do this all together. Every generation has got to pray. Every generation has to encourage and encourage each other. And so, oh man, do it. Because I tell you, your children are getting ministered to here. And they're going to come home and they're going to start praying for you. They're going to go into their schools and start coming home. And you may have some teachers or faculty call you and say, you know, your son keeps on talking about Jesus. Okay, I'll deal with that. Your son keeps on praying for the teachers in the school. We'll deal with that. But we're not backing down. We're not giving up. We're not sugarcoating the word. We're preaching the truth. That's what we do. And that's what you guys need to do. Hallelujah. Worship was awesome. Thank you for our youth. Oh, that's why I was getting on this to say, pray for our youth because, man, our youth, I mean, they're just recruiting more and more people to just come on their teams. And I know that's their heart, to give the word of God. So pray for them. Pray for them. Hey, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. We've been talking about it for a while. We're going to keep on talking about it. We can't live without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does everything for us. It's Jesus Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit. So my title this morning is In Step with the Holy Spirit. In step. We have to be in step with the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, one of the most tragic elements of warfare, I just want to say, you know, we're in a battle. If you are a believer, you are in a battle. The Bible says it, and we're going to read that. But in any battle, there is warfare. There's collateral damage. What I mean by that is you see on the news, you know, when two countries are fighting, sometimes civilians are injured. Sometimes civilians are killed through that, okay? So there's like two countries are at war, and there's in military operations, there's always someone caught in the middle. And every believer is in the middle of a battlefield. This may be new to you, but we are in a battle. Every believer. In the battle, it's the defeated force of the flesh. I'm going to try to go slow. The defeated force of the flesh wages war against the victorious force of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, if he's defeated, and we are victorious, what's the battle? The flesh stands for what we are by our natural birth. The spirit is about we become the new birth in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible talks about it. These two, the flesh and the spirit, are always in opposition. See, the non-believer, the unbeliever, isn't in opposition. Think about this. You're saying, well, the believer's in a battle. What about the unbeliever? He's not in a battle because he doesn't believe. So there's the flesh is the flesh. He's not warring against anything. But the believer wars because we have the Holy Spirit in us, and the flesh is trying to drag us down. And so the believer is always going to be in a battle. But remember, we are always victorious. We are not losing. In Roman soldiers, when they would go to battle, they would have armor on in the front. And so there was no armor in the back because it weighed them down. But their armor was always in the front because they knew they were going into battle, and they knew they were marching forward, and they knew they were going to be victorious. And so we are in the same situation, that we know we're going to be in a battle, but we are victorious through Jesus Christ. And so when they turned around, they didn't have much armor. But they didn't worry about that because they weren't going to turn around and run. Their mentality is, we are going to be victorious. So we're just going to protect it from the front. See, as believers in Jesus Christ, that's what we have to do. We have to say, hey, the cross has made us victorious through Jesus Christ. And the armor in Ephesians says, put on the armor of God. Well, you should never take that armor off. Think about it. If you're putting in the armor of God, of salvation, of truth, of righteousness, and faith, and the word, that should never come off you. But we need to put it on, and we need to march forward because we are victorious. Having God's Holy Spirit in us doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect. There is a struggle. We're going to read about it. The flesh is loud and demanding. It likes to have its own way. That's the flesh. And it sure doesn't give up easily. It may not seem like, but you have control over the flesh. You do, as a believer. You have control over it. You aren't meant to live in the flesh. You're not meant for the flesh to rule your life. You're meant to walk in the Spirit and live at a higher level where victory reigns and righteousness rules in your life. Man. Do you believe it? That's the truth. I'm not making it up. I don't make things up. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 25. You're really gonna see how this works. Galatians 5, 16 through 25. This I say then, this is Paul speaking, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. It may be a little different because I try to read the same version, but it might be a little different. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Wow, that's the flesh. Man, there's a lot of things going on in that flesh. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's a lot in there. I'm going to break this down for us. I'm going to try to really break this down. Paul's speaking to the Galatian church. They are fighting amongst each other. They're fighting amongst each other. They're backbiting. They're fighting. They're trying to. Some are trying to go back to the law after they were saved and received Christ. They're arguing. Well, we should add a little of Jesus to the law. Add a little law to the Jesus. And the church is really having some issues, and so they're going back and forth. But the answer is understanding the problem. The answer is understanding the problem. You have to understand that there is a battle. See, as believers, sometimes we want to live on this plane. Well, I've got Jesus, and everything is fine. He took care of everything at the cross. He loves me just like we talk about. You know, he's forgiven me of all my sins, so I'm good to go. Well, yeah, you are good to go. You're good to go right into the battle. And see, sometimes we live in this, and sometimes preachers will preach this. Everything's going to be okay. You're not going to have any problems. You know, we've got Jesus. No. We have Jesus because when we have problems, we have an answer. We have the answer. He's given us the resources to walk through life. Okay, so the solution is to be ruled by the Holy Spirit. Number one. We need to walk by the Spirit because he is the flesh denier, number one. He's the only thing, the only one that can help you deny the flesh. So number one, he's a flesh denier. There is a battle. And it says in the Bible, it talks about that we don't war against flesh and blood, but against spiritual authorities, ruler in high places. Yes, we're fighting a spiritual battle on the outside. Like when your boss comes at you, it's not your boss, it's the spirit behind your boss. It's a spiritual battle. Don't blame your spouse, don't blame your children, don't blame your neighbor, but there's a spiritual warfare going on. And so we have to recognize that. But there's also a war raging inside. Paul talks about it. He talks about it right here. We talked about it. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. There's a battle going on in your life. But the Holy Spirit, it helps you deny the flesh. It's a battle of desires. Think about this. For the flesh lusteth. That word means desires. Desires. The battle is against desires. What is your heart set upon? What is your heart set upon? Now, that word desire is morally neutral. It's not bad and it's not good. Desire. It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. But where it's not wrong to have desires, but what do you desire? Think about it. Having desires is not wrong. But what do you desire? Because if you're desiring the flesh, then you're desiring death. But if you're desiring the Holy Spirit, then you're desiring life and hope, eternity. And that word desire means earning, wanting, craving, hungering, thirsting, and longing. Now think about those words. If your desire is of the Holy Spirit, you have a wanting, a craving, a hungering, a thirsting, a longing, a yearning for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, our passion, is it on the will of God or is it on the flesh? And so Paul is talking about hey, we know, what is your desires? What are you desiring? Because to desire something's not wrong. But what are you desiring? And so our passion is it the will of God? The battle is with the believer because the unbeliever is not battling anything. He's living in the flesh. So I just want to help us as a church. Don't walk out here and say, oh, Pastor Tom said we're in a battle and we've lost. Never said that. That's not true. That's not the word of God. That isn't truth. That's a lie of the enemy. Yes, we are in a battle, but the battle has already been won, and Jesus has given us the resources through the Holy Spirit to fight the battle. We need to know there is a problem. The flesh is trying to take over the spirit in you, but he can't. If you have the Holy Spirit. And when you receive Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. The only one that can overcome the flesh is the Holy Spirit. Let's read verse 16. It is, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have to walk in the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. The walk means to be directed by, to be influenced by. Is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, your leader? The Holy Spirit needs to be your leader, be your influence, who you're directed by. That's what it says, walk in the Spirit. Is he your influencer? Is he your leader? Is he the only one you are following? Because if he is, you can kill the flesh. You can kill those desires. And that walk is a progression. It's a continuous action. It's an habitual lifestyle. It's a daily decision to walk with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, if you say, oh, man, I'm struggling on these things. You know, Pastor Tom, I'm really struggling. And the Bible says if we walk by the Spirit, then, you know, everything is, you know, we can be conquerors through this. Yes, you can. But you can't just, like, well, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. There's things that we have to do while we walk in the Spirit. It's very important. It also means when you walk in the Spirit, it means you occupy. You occupy. You're treading on ground that you occupy. See, as a believer, we're treading on ground all the time. We're going to work. We're in our families. No matter where we are, we're in our schools. We could be in the grocery store. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. When you start walking on that ground and you're walking in the Holy Spirit and the Spirit is in you like that, and you're walking and you walk into a room, the Holy Spirit comes in that room. But see, as believers, we never realize that we're occupying, that the Holy Spirit is occupying that space. We think we're walking in with the flesh. Oh, I'm with a bunch of, you know, I always like this, like, you know, I've said it before until I had to correct myself. You know, I work with a bunch of not here in the church. I work with a bunch of unbelievers at my secular job. And I'm saying, and as I would say, Lord, I'm working with a bunch of unbelievers. Look what they're doing. Look what they're saying. Look what I have to put up with. And it's like, and finally, it took me a while because I got a hard head. He's saying, wait a minute. You got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. When you walk in your job, you occupy that space through the Holy Spirit. It's not you. The trouble with you, Tom, is that you still think you're going there alone. You still think that it's your talents and your abilities and all, you know, if I could just do a better job at my job. No. We don't realize as believers that when we walk in, we occupy that space through the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Paul's showing us, hey, you want to kill the flesh? You want to deny the flesh? You need to walk in the Spirit. Why? Because we occupy space. The Spirit occupies space. How many times have you heard someone walks in a room and people just say, there's something about you, or there's something about this room now when you come in? How many times have you heard that? Those aren't just like supernatural miracles that happen once in a lifetime. They should be happening every day wherever you are. I'm looking out, it's probably 100 some odd people here. You're all walking in the Spirit, occupying all the space wherever you may be. Can you imagine if you really believe this to be true, which it is, but you believe it? You walk in a room now, when you go into this classroom, you go into your job, it's like, wait a minute. I mean, you got to do this in a humble way, but hey, this is my space. This is the Holy Spirit's room. It's not your room. Teacher, it's not your room, except our Christian teachers, and we have some in here. It's not your room. When I walk in, it's the Holy Spirit's room. Walk in the Spirit. What do you think Paul's talking about? Walk in the Spirit and say, oh, why am I in this room with a bunch of non-believers? God said, well, who's going to save them? Who's going to tell them about Jesus? You. When you walk in your shop, your factory, your store, wherever you get, it's like, come on, church, we got to sit there and say, hey, Pastor Tom said, I get to say, this is my space through the Holy Spirit. He reigns. He rules. He loves. He gives grace. He gives mercy. He heals. He delivers. He's resurrected life. He's my bread of life. He's my shepherd. He's my protector. Come on, you, whatever you need. You walk in a room. Don't be walking in a room thinking you're alone. You're not. How do we do this? Okay, Pastor Thomas, sounds really cool. You know, oh, man, I'm going to walk in a room, and I'm here, man. How do you do this? This is how you do it. You walk by the Spirit by dependence on the Holy Spirit. Are you depending on the Holy Spirit? We're gonna make this very practical for you. Dependence. Are you influenced by the Holy Spirit? This is how you're going to do it. Are you influenced by the Holy Spirit when you walk in the room? Hey, I'm having all these problems, Pastor Tom, at my job. Are you dependent on the Holy Spirit? I never thought about it. Okay. Are you influenced by the Holy Spirit? Are you surrendered to the Holy Spirit? Are you guided by the Holy Spirit? Are you in communion with the Holy Spirit? This isn't hard. This is not, Jesus didn't make this a mystery. How do I walk in the Spirit? He just told us how to walk in the Spirit. Are you dependent? Are you influenced by? Are you surrendered or in submission to? Are you guided by? Are you in communion with? Hey, Max, are you able to put those up? Because if he can get these up, I always say, take out your phones and take a picture. Because you're going to forget, you're going to leave, and you're going to have a problem at work. There you go. You're going to have a problem at work, you're going to call me, call the church, Pastor Tom there. What did he say about those things, walking in the Spirit? I'm serious. Take out your phones, take a picture if you have to, or write it down. Because you're going to say to me, I wish Pastor Tom would tell us how to walk in the Spirit. Da, da, da. Come on. We're going to make this easy. Now, more practical than that, pray. Read God's word. Yield to him. Surrender day by day. Actively choose his will. This is going to be an awesome message because you guys have got all the tools to walk in the Spirit. Now, when you come up against a problem, and you come into a room and say, hey, it's our room, Holy, it's your room, Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden the darts start flying at you and everyone's, you know, your boss is telling you, you know, using some language that, you know, you can't repeat. And you say, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to pray. That's walking in the Spirit. Wait a minute, I'm going to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, at lunchtime I'm going to get my Bible out and I'm going to read that scripture about fear, about anxiety. Okay, so many believers reverse this. Verse 16 says, walk, you can leave that up for a little while, Max, if you want to. You can go back and forth if they haven't got it. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But believers, switch this around. Wrong theology. I'm going to say it again. Wrong theology. If I try hard to deny the flesh, I will be able to walk in the Spirit. Wrong theology, okay? Right theology. If I walk by the Spirit, then I will not gratify the flesh. Right theology. See, even as believers, we're trying to, if I could just, no. It's not if I could just, is it, am I walking in the Spirit? And even as believers, we struggle with this. Works mentality. If I try to deny the flesh, I will able to be walk. That's not what the scripture says. We got to get it right. Number two, flesh is works. The works of the flesh, we work at, laboring at it. That's what works means, labor, work at. Why are we working at the flesh? But that's what that word means. We're laboring at this. And when we read through all these things, and it talks about adultery, fornication, uncleanness, those are sexual sins. I want you to think about, there's three categories here. And then we go down to idolatry and witchcraft. Those are religious sins, idolatry. What God are we putting before Jesus? What God are we putting before Jesus? And then we go to social sins, envy, murder, drunkenness. Just those sins, just these fleshly things that are going on in our that are out there, that are wrong, that are sin, it's broken down into sexual sin, Think about what we're dealing with in society right now. Sexual sin, religious sin, and social sin. Murder, hatred, envy. You know, when this was written, it was written because the church back then were going through the same things we're going through now. This was no surprise. But it's for us today to catch this. And when he says, if you continue to practice these sins, you will not enter the kingdom of God. And so it's the practice of the sin. If your lifestyle is this, we know that it's anti-spirit, it's anti-Christ, and it's anti-kingdom of God, these sins. Right? But what Paul's talking about, because if you read the chapter, or you read the Galatians, the book, he's saying, man, you guys know Jesus. We've preached the word. We've done all these things. And now why are you falling back into these things again? And so I just want to say to you, you know, we do struggle. There are things that we do make mistakes. And believers do sin, okay? We're not perfect. What Paul's talking about, why do you continually practice this as a lifestyle? That's what he's talking about. And I just want to share this because, you know, I don't sugarcoat this. If you're living continually in sin, I have to question, because we're going to get to fruit. I have to question, did you really receive Jesus? Really receive Jesus? If you're going to continue to practice and can say, it's okay, it's fornication is okay. Adultery is okay. Uncleanness is okay. Idolatry. I can put other things before. No, you can't. No, you can't. Maybe some of you won't like this message. We have to preach the truth. If it's a lifestyle, then I have to ask you, you have to ask yourself, if I'm enjoying the flesh, and that's my desire, that's what I'm yearning and wanting and craving, then did you receive Jesus? Because if you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit will help you kill the flesh. It's a daily thing. I'm not talking about you fall today and, you know, you made a mistake. I'm talking about if you're going to continue to practice this, then you have to ask yourself, did you come to a time of repentance and say, Jesus, you're my Lord. This is not a lifestyle that I want. This will kill me. This is of the devil. But Jesus, Holy Spirit, you are giving me the ability to understand I don't have to gratify the flesh. Boy, it's awful quiet. But man, we got to get this. We can't help people if we don't understand how this works, the truth of the word. Number three, this is the exciting part. The Holy Spirit is my fruit producer. He produces the fruit. He produces the fruit. See, the works of the flesh seem overwhelming sometimes. They're in us and around us. But God is good enough and big enough to change everything with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit can always conquer the works of the flesh. Always. 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 That's what the Word says. We need the Holy Spirit. He produces the fruit. Here's another thing. You know, we've tried to produce fruit. You can't produce an apple. You think about it. Can you really? You have to be very careful because in science now, they can produce human beings and things like that. But can you really produce an apple? Can you? Can you go home and produce an apple? No. Can you plant a seed? Can you water that seed? Can God then produce the apple? You don't produce fruit. That's the problem with the church. We're all trying to click our heels together and say, I hope, I wish I don't sin. I hope I don't do this. No, you can't do that. You can click your heels all day. It's not you. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit in you that denies the flesh, that kills the flesh, that produces the fruit you need to walk in Jesus. Too many times the church has preached, if you just try a little harder, if you just stop sinning, if you just stop drinking, if you just stop drugging, if you stop having sex outside of marriage, anytime, unless you're married, period. You can't click your heels together and hope for nothing. Jesus produces the fruit that helps you walk through this Christian life. It's a battle. That's the problem. We weren't taught it's a battle. You're a believer, everything is fine. Everything is fine because Jesus has given us all the answers. But if you don't know the problem, you have no clue what the answer is. The problem is we're in a battle. But guess what? The answer is he's producing fruit. Works are when we earn it. That's what he's talking about, the flesh. The works of the flesh. He doesn't say the fruit of the flesh. He says the works, because there's the human being. I'm trying. I'm not going to commit adultery. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to murder. I'm not going to steal. Don't waste your breath. Don't waste your time. Go depend. Go read your word. Go surrender. Go do those things. That's walking in the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit we can't produce, but God does. When we are led by the Spirit, only then will we produce the fruit. If you're not being led by the Spirit and you're sitting there, Pastor Tom, why am I not producing fruit? Are you walking with the Spirit? Are you led by the Spirit? Are you denying the flesh? Are you doing that? Well, then you don't have fruit. This is very simple. And he says, when you're led by the Spirit, that's voluntary submission to Jesus. He's not going to put a dog collar around your neck and drag you. I'm going to produce fruit, whether you like it or not. I'm producing fruit. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit doing that? Now, just look at your neighbor. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit putting a dog collar around you? I'm producing fruit in you, and I'm going to do it. I don't care what you say. I'm doing it. It's not going to happen. Surrender. Give your life to Jesus. The believer decides by whom he will be led by. And that word led means, this is what the word led means. It means that it's like a train in a locomotive or a train in its cars. You attach. So being led means you are allowing something as the Holy Spirit to allow you to attach himself to you. That's what being led is. That's voluntary. How many of us want to attach ourselves to the Holy Spirit? I want fruit. I want love. You're going to attach yourself? I want peace. You're going to attach yourself? I want joy. You're going to surrender? I want patience. You're going to surrender? Paul uses the singular fruit, not fruits of the Spirit. See, Paul's not speaking of fruits that are shared. Okay, Oleg, you look like a peace person. Ben, you need some love. I'm not going to use my wife because I'm going home to her. Kirill, I think you're a faith person. I'm going to give you the fruit of faith. Kent, oh my Lord, I got to get a cluster. And guess what? The cluster is what he gives us. He doesn't take your love and go give it to whoever I said, Ben. He doesn't give peace. Oh, sorry, Kent, you didn't get peace. I gave that to Oleg. No, Jesus says the fruit of the Spirit. I give you everything, Kent, like I give everything to Ben, Oleg, everyone in this place, everyone that knows Jesus. It's all the fruit. I was never taught that way. I'm working on love. Then I'm going to work on peace. Man, there's 9 of them. Oh, my Lord. That's going to take me a lifetime. And Jesus says, okay, here you go again, Tom. You know, No, what are you doing? You can't produce it, so let it go. And when I give it to you, I'm giving you all. You get all. You get all. Paul's not speaking of fruits that would be shared around the church so that one believer gets one, maybe another believer gets a couple, and maybe if you're really special, you might get three. No, he's bearing, producing all the fruit. All the qualities are to be manifested in each person. Every single fruit should be in you. Every single fruit. Stop working. The Holy Spirit never runs out of fruit. Oh, I just got saved, and, you know, Pastor Tom, you don't really know my life. And it's like, that's good, because I don't want to know your life, because guess what? I didn't heal you. I didn't save you. I didn't deliver you. I didn't free you. Jesus did. And now Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is going to produce fruit in you. Hallelujah. He's going to produce the fruit. The Holy Spirit never runs out of fruit. It's always ripe, it's always fresh, and it's always delicious. Trouble is, we have seasons here, and sometimes, you ever try to like buy a tomato and put it on a salad and like when it's not in season? It's like it's white inside. When did a tomato become white and hard? You know, strawberries and all these other fruits, and it's like there's seasons. There's no season with Jesus. It's all fresh. It's all seasonal. It's all delicious. Hallelujah. But see, we are so wrapped up in, I don't think I'm worthy enough. Oh, you don't know my life. Yeah, I accepted Jesus, but I don't know. I'm struggling a little bit. This is the problem with the church. We walk in here half-fruited. And you can take that any way you want. Because sometimes, let's be honest, we're half-fruited. Because we don't know the truth. The truth sets you free. Hallelujah. He's going to produce all of this because you need all of it. Hallelujah. We're almost done. You can't stop the fruit of the Spirit when you're being led by the Spirit. I want more fruit than be led. I want more fruit than walk. I want more fruit. He's the denier of the flesh. And when he talks about the walk here in verse, I think it's 25. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's a different meaning from the walk in the beginning in verse 16. You know what that walk means? That means in step, like you're marching in a parade. So, you ever see a parade? You ever see some people march? And there's that one person who's out of step. Everyone's on their left, and he's on his right. How awkward that looks. It's like you want to say, stop! Stop the parade! You know, it's so confusing to me to watch this. You know, you go into some, like, orchestras, you know, and the young kids are playing, you know, in orchestras, and, you know, like, everyone's on a beat, and then someone's, like, off beat. And they're trying to catch up. Well, that's what it looks like when you're not walking in the Spirit. It's obvious. It's obvious. And so when you see yourself, when you see everybody up on their left leg and you're on your right leg, it's like, something's wrong here. Okay, let's regroup. It's not, you don't throw yourself in the fire. I missed out today, I'm done. No, you regroup and you continue to walk with Jesus. John 15:5 says, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Here it is. Are you in step with the Holy Spirit? I want to deny the flesh. Pastor Tom, I want to break some of these things that I just have been plaguing me. Now I understand that I can, by walking, by being led, by letting the Holy Spirit kill the flesh. There's things in here, man. It's obvious. Don't do it, man. It's death, spiritual death for you and I, if we're going to continue to live that lifestyle. In verse 24, it says, we have the ability daily to overcome the flesh. 24 says, and they that are Christ, that's you as a believer, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Our flesh is defeated, and we do that by the Holy Spirit. You can defeat this rotten, no good flesh. Don't tell me you can't, because the Bible says we can. If you're crucified with Christ, and if you're a believer in Christ, you can. We don't have to live that way. It's not by what we, here it is. It's not by what we don't do. Well, I don't murder. I don't commit adultery. It's by what we do, walking in the Spirit. Because you don't have to, just because you don't murder someone doesn't mean you're walking in the Spirit. It's what you do. Do you love that person that hates you? Do you love? I don't murder, but man, I hate my neighbor. Right? See, as I say it as believers, because we struggle with this. Well, I don't do those things that, I was going to say point to, I don't do what I know that what she does. What is that? Where did we get degrees of sin on the cross? It's like, oh, wait a minute. See the top part of that cross? I guess that's adultery and fornication. Oh, the bottom part of the cross is envy and strife. Does anybody see that up there? I don't. The cross took it all. There's no degrees of sin. So stop looking at your neighbor and say, well, I don't do what he does. What do you do? Do you love your enemy? I don't murder. Do you love your enemy? Because Jesus is big on love. He's really big on love. Number three, the last one. He's a life giver. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We must live by the Spirit. We must keep in step, like I said, that's what it means to walk. Keep in step with the Spirit. If we are alive in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. John 10:10, last verse. The thief comes to kill and destroy. Jesus has come to give us life, to give it more abundantly. Holy Spirit is a life giver. Don't let the enemy try to tell you anything different. He's a life giver. He's a life giver. He's a life giver. The Holy Spirit is a life giver to you. I want you to catch that. He's a life giver. All those things, the lust of the flesh, we read them all. Man, the thief comes to destroy, to steal, to kill. If you're going to walk in those as a lifestyle, I mean, don't do it at all. So don't twist my words again and say, well, Pastor Tom said I could commit adultery once. No, didn't say that. He said I could steal once or twice. No, I didn't say that. Don't do it at all. And he's saying, if you're going to practice that, then you have to ask yourself, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? It's awful quiet in here. I want you to really get a hold of this. Eric, thank you. Pray. Read God's word. Yield to him. Surrender day by day. Actively choose his will. Do the other one. Depend. Influenced by him. Submit. Surrender to him. Be guided by him. And commune with him every day. That's how you kill the flesh. It is possible. It's truth. You can do it. We can do it. Walk in the Spirit of God. Your life will change. I really want you to, We spoke a lot of things about the Holy Spirit, but I think today is one of those days where, church, thank you for the word that God gave Elena on that. It's a battle. Stop thinking because you're a believer that everything is going to be rosy. Start thinking as a believer, I know I'm victorious, and God has given me every single resource to walk in it. That's what we need to do. That's what you need to teach the world. Hey, you're living this way. You're struggling with this. Hey, let me talk to you about the Holy Spirit. You can't do it by yourself. Never, never, never. If you did, Jesus wouldn't have came. When you walk in a room, you and the Holy Spirit and you occupy that room. Go in there and go after the world. Don't take the bull by the horns and start throwing it around. Walk in there in love, in grace and in mercy, and teach this truth. It will change your work environment, your school, your parents, your children, your household. We have to do it. We have to. If it's not in there, if it's in there, that means we can do this. You can do it. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the word that was given earlier that you gave through us to Elena. Let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. You can't walk in the Spirit if you're hanging on. That's why I had her give this word. It is so pertinent to this message. You can't walk in the Spirit if you're not dependent on the Holy Spirit. You can't walk in the Spirit if you're hanging on to jealousy, to hatred, to offenses, to not seeing some of the promises come forward. Either you believe the promise or you don't. Let go. Let go. Let go. Come on, let's just take a minute and pray. Let's just start thanking God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, Holy Spirit, that you work in us and through us and among us. And Lord, if we depend on you, Lord, if we let you guide us, if we surrender to you, Lord, if we walk in the Spirit, you said we can and we will crucify, kill the flesh and every desire of it. That desire of yearning and craving and wanting and everything, that is a desire that we can have for you as a Holy Spirit, not for the flesh anymore. And we thank you, Father, for this word. Lord, you're helping us understand who you are in a deeper, more intimate way, that we can walk in this world and we can be history makers. We can change this world because of you, the Holy Spirit. When we walk into a room, when we walk into any place, Holy Spirit, you occupy that room and we're going to allow you to speak through us. You're going to allow you to give us a word, and Lord, we're going to prophesy that word, we're going to speak that word, and we're going to give that word in love and truth and grace and mercy, whatever we need to do, God, because you know that person that we're talking to, and you will only give us what that person needs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Calvary. You've given us an awesome church at Calvary. You've given us awesome people. Lord, we're thanking you for the people that are coming that we haven't even seen yet, that haven't even sat in these pews. Lord, we're thanking you for the people that used to sit in these pews that aren't here anymore, Lord. We're thanking you that you're bringing them back, that you're filling up these pews, Lord, with the lost, with the hurting, with the discouraged, with the addicted, with the orphan. Hallelujah. And you're teaching us how to walk with them. Teach them how to walk in the Spirit. Teach them how to be led by the Spirit. Teach them that the Holy Spirit is our flesh denier, not us. And we thank you for this word. Lord, thank you for this church that you're building. Because you said if you build it, the gates of hell will not prevail. And this gospel will be advanced. Hallelujah, in this city. Thank you for our young and our old people. We need them all. We need them all. We need every one of you. God loves you. He has a great calling on this church and on each individual life. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you, God, for everything you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Hey, come downstairs, have some fellowship. Thank you. God is good. Let's do it.